Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday talk show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us today. Glad to have you with us. Let's see. We'll ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour, but if you want to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270, and when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, though, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio today from the Grants Pass City Council, Councilors Brian De La Grange and Vanessa Ogier, and councilors, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Before we get to probably the topic at hand that's been cussed and discussed abundantly and will probably be more today is the funding for local law enforcement. In the meantime, is there anything else on your agenda that your constituents are talking about right now to you? Is anything taking your attention away from law enforcement funding?
Well, the thing that I hear most about is, and this is not going to come as a surprise, but it's anything regarding the homeless.
Sure.
So the public safety funding topic is intricately tied with that topic. So we by far hear that the most.
All right. So public safety funding and, of course, the homeless situation in the parks. Vanessa, are you hearing the same thing?
Absolutely, yeah. All that right. Remains the same. It's been pretty consistent. I think every time we visited, and I unfortunately give you the same answer, that's what we hear the most. I wish there was a new topic, but it's just on the forefront of everyone's mind, certainly.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into it, because during your city council meeting yesterday, after in February agreeing to pass on to the voters that $12 utility fee, plus that 3% restaurant and beverage tax to voters in November, the council pulled back yesterday. What's going on with the council right now? What was the sentiment of the council yesterday? And I understand it was almost unanimous. Is that correct?
Almost. The council, by majority yesterday, made a decision to move forward with a roundtable discussion on public safety funding. There was one councilor who brought forward some concerns that maybe there were some civic leaders and highly involved people in the community that still wanted to come on board to the discussion and learn more about what exactly the need is, why we need to move forward with new funding mechanisms for public safety services. And so by majority, we did decide yesterday to move forward with hopefully an expeditious roundtable event to be scheduled still.
First of all, why don't we figure out exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the funding level right now, because the $12 utility fee has been voted on and is set to come on board, I think, in June, mm-hmm. last I heard,
mm-hmm.
And was going the 3% food and beverage tax was going to be passed on to the voters in the November election. And that would have brought the funding level, including the public safety levy and contributions from the fund, to a certain level that would have at least maintained what we have here and maybe added a deputy or two. It was fairly intricate there. Is that accurate right now? Have we raised the bar? Are we looking at additional funds? What are we trying to accomplish here?
Well, we did pass the fee. Unfortunately, I don't know that is a permanent solution for this problem. It's more of a Band-Aid that'll get us through for a couple more years until the...
Will that fee maintain the level that we have right now?
That fee will maintain the level we have right now for probably a year or two. So mm-hmm. so it doesn't add any new officers. It doesn't add any new firefighters, but it does allow us to maintain the current service levels.
All right, so... So the $12 fee right now is at least a done deal for a couple of years.
I think that's pretty safe to say, yeah.
It's passed. It goes into effect in June. Mm-hmm. The council could turn that around, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen right now,
right.
Because everything else will take a while for the money to start coming in. So what were the what was the situation that caused the reconsideration here? Significant community leaders. Who's stepping up to sit down at this roundtable discussion? Do we have names yet? Do we have organizations that are going to be represented? Who's going to be sitting at the table?
I know one organization that was mentioned yesterday is members of the Chamber of Commerce, and so I know that we would like to bring some of those voices on board. Other civic groups, I'm not sure. This really is coming from one counselor, so we would have to pick their brain to know more. And I think it's to be determined who should be invited. And I think that this could also serve as an open call to anyone listening. If you think that you or anyone you know should be invited, you have some questions, you have maybe a perspective that we should hear, I would say please reach out to the city.
Well, no surprise that the Chamber of Commerce is there. I've certainly expected that one, but the story that I got was that multiple organizations wanted to sit down at this round table. So sitting at the round table, going to be who's representing the city there? Will it be all the councilors? Will a quorum be present? Will it just be the city manager and a representative of the council? Do we have any idea how this is going to work yet?
I don't have any idea how it's going to work. We've already had a round table. We've already had a community forum about this. We've been talking about this for several years.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I feel that we need to do yet another round table. You know, the public and the civic leaders have had more than ample opportunity to participate and to learn about this problem and to help us figure out solutions. So I kind of feel like we're getting to the point where we need to move past that and start being leaders and start making actual decisions instead of going round and round and round and hopefully not kicking the can down the road to the next council, because if that happens, they're going to have to go through the whole exercise we went through to get up to speed and understand the problem, and then they're just going to be right where we are now. So hopefully we can move forward fairly quickly.
Well, in February, I thought a decision had been made, at least in the interim, to move forward a little bit. And now we're changing our minds here. And you said we want to move forward expeditiously. We don't have a date for this yet, or we don't even know who's going to be there yet.
Correct to both. I would say, although I do agree wholeheartedly with Councillor De La Grange, I would expect a council quorum there. I know that this is a topic that's really interesting. You know, the council's really interested in learning more about this. So I would expect a quorum. I would expect, you know, the deputy fire chief. I would expect the chief of police. I would expect the city manager, the city attorney. I would certainly expect those people present. In terms of residents coming forward or civic leaders, we don't know what that looks like quite yet.
All right. So, the populace stepping forward, do you foresee an opportunity at this forum for public input, another 3-minute opportunity to say yay or nay to whatever's being discussed or to present ideas?
It sounds like when this was brought forward to us, it sounds like that's exactly what these individuals that are interested would like to get away from. They want to have more of a back and forth. They want to have more of a discourse rather than a 3-minute one-way conversation. And so I don't know that. I think that the public should be invited, but I don't know that the 3-minute typical public comment would be how it would fall out.
It will be a public meeting in that the public can attend but not give input. Is that what I'm hearing?
I would certainly expect it to be a public meeting.
Yeah, that's what I think is planned.
Oh, yep. All right. Well, all right. Moving ahead, what about the numbers that we're talking about here in terms of if we move forward with the $12 utility fee and the 3% food and beverage tax, is that going to be enough money to grow the department or to maintain the level? What are we talking about here? Well, I'm under the impression that won't even get it to the point where we really need it to get. Is that fair? Am I incorrect?
Well, this is a really hard topic to wrap your head around.
That's why I'm asking you guys.
Well, mm-hmm. The city budget is very complex, and even though we talk about it, you know, a fair amount, it's still difficult for us. So, you know, we get shown numbers, and you know, they're projecting the utility fee is going to bring in $3.4 million a year, which is certainly a huge help and will keep us solvent, I guess you could say, for the next couple of years with police and fire. But once we get past a year or two, you know, the problem isn't actually solved because costs are still outpacing revenues. And most of the reason for that is outside of the control of the city. So, you know, as long as that keeps happening, you know, that's going to whittle away whatever, you know, the utility fee is doing over time. And so, you know, in a couple years, there's a very good chance we're going to be right back in the same spot, which is why we're trying to put another mechanism in place soon, so we can, you know, plan for the future and not put the burden on the next council.
Mm-hmm. Here's this, and I'm quoting from the story on the station's website right now. The deficit is still close to $4.8 million. The 3% food and beverage tax that would focus prepared foods and beverages, excluding alcoholic beverages, would generate about $2.3 million. So you're still millions of dollars short.
Well, that's true. When you speak about that gap, though, that is the gap that is covered by the general fund. So technically, we're not short that money. That's the amount that the general fund has to cover. So we do have the ability to pay that. So enacting the food and beverage tax, the estimate is $2.3 million. I personally think that estimate's a little bit low. I think it's going to be higher than that. But that basically just makes the general fund healthier and gives us a little bit more runway, so we have more years where this is not going to be a problem.
I'm going to continue this in just a moment, and you guys really fell into it today.
We did.
So glad to see your fortitude here. Thank you very much. We'll be back with more right after this word.
Stop in today.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. City Councilors Vanessa Ogier and Brian De La Grange are in studio today. And, of course, as we've talked about many times before, we're continuing to talk about the law enforcement funding here in the city of Grants Pass. And we just dealt with a little bit of the city's general fund funding the deficit between what would be raised between the food and beverage tax and the utility fee, a couple of million dollars. Also talked about yesterday's meeting was lowering the reserve fund that the city keeps on hand for emergencies. And that money would go to law enforcement, as I understand it. Is that correct? And would that put the emergency fund or the reserve fund in jeopardy? Would it be too little? What are your impressions?
Well, I think the impression of the reserve fund is not exactly as you described. The reserve fund is essentially the money that the city holds aside between when the fiscal year starts and when we start getting money from property taxes in November. So we have to sock this amount away to basically float the city until we get that revenue in November. Currently, I think that our reserve policy is 30 to 40%. And other cities do not have it that high. Other cities get by with 25, 20. I believe some are even as low as 10 or 5%. So they have other mechanisms they use to, I guess, float the city through that period of time that isn't holding millions and millions of dollars. So it's been shown that that it can be done lowering the reserve policy. So I think that we're probably going to do that to some degree. And, you know, the thing with the money that we would get from that is it's one-time money. So it's not something that we could use for, you know, paying wages ongoing year over year. It would be essentially just a one-time infusion of dollars, which isn't huge in the grand scheme of city operations. I think it might be, you know, $1 or $2 million.
I wanted to say it was about 30% was the reserve. Is that correct?
Yep.
And how much would we lower it to? Vanessa, do you want to weigh in on this here?
I think Councilor De La Grange has done a fantastic job, but I think that it is worth repeating that these are one-time use funds, that it couldn't be used for operating expenses. I see it folding nicely into like the vehicle replacement fund that we've had to defer during several budget cuts for public safety.
All right. How much do you anticipate, should that happen, would be taken out? Are we talking 5%? Are we talking cutting it in half?
I think we're talking about 5%.
About 5%?
Yeah, I think we're thinking about going from 30% to 25%, which would give us about $1.5 million.
Yeah, that was my next question. What in terms of dollars is that? And at $1.5 million, that still leaves you about $500,000 short, doesn't it? Just figures in my head quickly.
Well, it does, but it's almost a separate conversation. The reserve fund conversation is it's we did talk about them on the same day, but it's it's not trying to solve the problem of funding public safety, because funding safety or public safety funding year over year is you know, it's getting worse and worse, and this money we can only use one time. So whether we put it towards vehicle replacement fund or we put it towards some project that's short on funding, that's a more appropriate use of funds that you get one time, is for a one-time expense instead of an ongoing expense like wages.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, the council also talked about exploring other ways to generate funds for law enforcement. And this one scared me a little bit. Transitional income tax. Do we have any idea what that is, exactly how it would work? How much money would it raise? How much money is it going to take out of my pocket? Are there any answers there?
Well, we don't have a lot of answers on that yet. That was our very first conversation about it. And so staff didn't, you know, they didn't even have all of the answers to the questions we had, because it was our very first conversation. But essentially what it is it works kind of like a corporate tax, or as Councillor Pell put it in the meeting, he was calling it the big box tax. So just to kind of simplify, I guess, how it works is it's almost like a sales tax, but just for big businesses. So businesses over a certain revenue threshold. And the sales tax part, it's not charged at the point of sale. It's something that the corporation has to pay aside from those transactions. So it's something that consumers don't even necessarily see unless that business decides to make a notation on the receipt, but it's not an actual charge on the receipt for the person doing the transaction.
So the transitional sales tax that was talked about would be on large corporations only? Is that what I'm understanding?
That's the model that we're looking at this from. So there's one that they have up in Portland, and so that's what this is modeled after. And I think the issue that we're uncertain about right now with it is we have to have a justification of if we're going to use this funding mechanism for law enforcement, we have to be able to justify why what the connection is for this and law enforcement. And so that was, I think, the big question that came out of the meeting yesterday, was we weren't quite sure how we were going to make that connection quite yet. And so I think that's one of the things staff is going to work to try to help figure out.
All right. And of course, corporate America being what it is, and their benevolent spirit wouldn't raise their prices at all, right? That goes with it?
Nobody. Well, you know, that's up to them. And, you know, if they end up raising their price 1%, they raise their price 1%. At the end of the day, none of the options we're looking at to fund public safety are popular.
Would it be 1%?
I think that's the number we were talking about, but you know, it's very preliminary. We've had one conversation, and the 1% was brought up, but I don't know that we're anywhere far enough down the road to even talk about what a final percentage would be, but it would probably be 1 or maybe 2 at the very most.
I did want to be really clear about this transitional tax,
yes,
too. The code that we are looking at, that's modeled, that we're looking at, it covers corporations that have over $1 billion of sales annually. So they're very large multinational corporations that we're talking about.
All right. How many of those do we have in Grants Pass? Do we know?
Well, we've got, I mean, you know, we've got Home Depot, we've got Walmart, we've got, you know, McDonald's, we've got, you know, all the big, you know, multinational corporations. So, mm-hmm, you know, we can all think of several.
Oh, all right. So we're not just talking about what monies they generate here locally, but on a corporate level.
Correct. Yeah. Amazon, you know, those kinds of companies.
All right. All right. We'll keep an eye on that one. Are there other, I suspect there are probably other options that could resurface as this one has come to the surface here with the Grants Pass City Council. Are we still talking about going back to I know you were an early advocate of just a 2% general sales tax, Ryan. Would that come back?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's coming back. I think as good of a solution as I think that is, because it spreads the burden over the highest number of people, meaning everyone pays less, Just the fact that it's called a sales tax immediately causes people to recoil and freak out. And I get it. I grew up here and I, you know, to some degree pride myself on us not having a sales tax. But when I was looking at it compared to the other options, to me, it made more sense. But that was not the sentiment of council. So I don't really foresee that option coming back in the near future.
Do you foresee any options coming back, Vanessa?
You know, I think the council is in a really tough predicament. I think that right now the council is kind of suffering from analysis paralysis, and they're really fearing unintended consequences of every option, which will exist no matter what we choose. If we do choose an option, there will be unintended consequences. So I would like to see something. I would like to see a funding mechanism that can grow with inflation, that can grow with the economy, such as a general sales tax or a food and beverage tax. But I don't know that either of those options will come back. I can't say for certain. As of now, it doesn't look like it.
All right. Where are we standing right now in terms of law enforcement or public safety, both police and fire, as we talk about this? Are we at adequate levels right now?
Depends on your definition of adequate. I would say we're, in my opinion, I think we're probably fairly adequate on the police side. Fire has been short-staffed for years. We've been running two to an engine for a very long time.
Should be at least three.
It should be a minimum of three. So so I would say that we've been short-staffed on fire for a while. And there's definitely an argument that police is short-staffed as well, but I think the problem is a little bit worse on the fire side.
Just a quick note, because I understand we just put two new police officers on the force. But that's not expanding our force. That's just replacing people who have gone away. And that goes to, again, to funding and how much can I make a month. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I don't know that we've authorized additional positions. So I think those were just replacements from retirements.
Yeah, I don't think that those were new positions created.
Okay. Were those retirements or were those people who have gone on to other things? Do you know?
That I don't know. Unfortunately don't get to see the exit interviews from staff, so I'm not sure of those circumstances.
All right. Vanessa and Brad, thank you very much. Stay tuned, everybody. News is next on KAJO Radio, and we'll come back and take your phone calls. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call, 541-472-1270. And if you have a question or comment for our guest today, by all means, give that a call. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. A brief note, we'll be announcing soon interviews coming up with all of the candidates that we can muster coming into our studios here, coming up towards the later part of this month. So keep listening for that. In the meantime, returning to our studios right now, our guest, City Councilors Vanessa Ogier and Brian DeLaGranger in studio. The topic today has been funding for local law enforcement, funding for public safety, and there are lots of things happening in terms of well, there's lots of talk going on. I'm not sure much is happening. Is that a fair assessment with this council
so
right now?
So much talk. So much talk, Chuck. All the talk. That's all we're doing is talking. No action.
Absolutely fair.
Absolutely fair. So I sense a sense of frustration on all three seats here at the table today. So we'll continue with that. In the meantime, are you getting any other input from your constituents out there on either, do something now or don't do something? Or are there any other ideas out there that have come to the forefront or that the people are talking about? Or is it the same old thing, don't tax me anymore?
Mm-hmm. Well, the transactional tax that we talked about a little bit earlier, that was actually an idea that was brought to us from a member of the budget committee that we hadn't known about previously. And so that's something just in the last couple of weeks that's come up. It sounded like a good idea, and we're talking about it and evaluating it. So that is a new idea that came from a constituent, which is great. We've gotten a lot of ideas from constituents. Unfortunately, most of them don't pan out, but we're always open to ideas on how to solve our problems, including this one.
Right. We've got a person holding on online, but I just want to ask one follow-up question there. Do we have any idea when we'll hear more details about this transitional income tax?
I don't know exactly. It's got to get put on the agenda, but I would say maybe, I don't know, maybe in a month or so.
I would hope so, yeah.
Within a month or so, will we see a workshop first, or will it come up on a business session?
It'll definitely be at a workshop. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably going to try to move fairly quickly since budget season is starting next month as well. So I think that we all want to hopefully have that conversation fairly soon.
I would imagine fairly soon, no doubt. All right. For the caller standing by, good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests? Hello?
Yes, this is Marcus. I'm a little bit confused about the pathway going forward. It's been stated that we take pride in having no sales tax. We would like to increase the provisional tax, I think you called it. I'm not clear what that is. And we're not going to put the tax to the vote, as I understand it, or are we going to put it to the vote? Everyone would like to keep things the way they are, the same, and keep the city the same way it's always been. But the model is broken. So I'm not clear on the pathway that we're going. We have a lot of options. And nobody seems to take a firm setting of which way we're going. I was wondering if you'd clarify all of that.
All right. Everybody's looking at each other here. All right. Brian, you've been leading the way here. Why don't you jump in on this, and then we'll give Vanessa a chance to answer the gentleman's question.
Well, I mean, it's... It's a tough question to answer. We've been talking about it for years.
It's pretty general, yeah.
And we're, you know, and clearly, like, we don't, if there was an easy answer, we would have already done it. So if there was an answer that the public, you know, had, you know, support for, we would have already done it. So, you know, whether it's a sales tax or a transactional tax or a service district or, you know, whatever the option is, a utility fee, none of these options are popular, but it's also not in our best interest to not solve this problem, because what that is going to mean is that means we're going to have to start laying off staff. We're going to have to start laying off police and laying off fire. And, you know, those departments are already fairly lean. So so that is not a good option either. So, you know, when you're looking at a sales tax compared to a fee on the water bill, you know, both of those options are not good, but at least the sales tax brings in revenue from people visiting the city that buy things here, tourists, county residents that do shopping in the city. So that's a big plus for the sales tax, is it brings in revenue from outside the community. The utility fee, only people that get the water bill are paying that. You put it on you know, a special district, a fire district or a law enforcement district, only people in the district are paying that. So the benefit with a sales tax or a food and beverage tax is you do get outside revenue, which lowers the burden on community members. And even though it's a tax, and I know that that word is, you know, scary and nobody likes a new tax, when you look at it compared to the other options and you look at the actual numbers, you know, that option works out better for community members.
All right, Vanessa, you want to weigh in on the gentleman's question?
I do. The question is, what's the pathway going forward? And I'd like to talk a little bit about where we've been. In January, the council voted to implement a 1.5% general sales tax, which did not move forward. We've also voted to implement a 3% food and beverage tax, which has not moved forward. We've also voted to send a 3% food and beverage tax to the ballot this November, which is no longer going to happen. So to know where we're going, you have to kind of understand where we've been. And we are still talking in circles at this time. There is no real clear path forward. We're still in what I would describe as an exploratory stage. We're still exploring our options. We're still talking to the community. Although we've been talking about this for years, I don't see a clear path forward at this time. And with all of that to say, I do agree with everything that Councillor De La Grange said in how we should be moving forward. I do think that either a general sales tax or a food and beverage tax in the long run would be the most equitable to everyone in the community.
Now, initially, this 3% food and beverage tax would have been put before the voters in November. That probably won't happen right now, or at least it could happen again. But in the same time, I think the gentleman needs to know that the council can impose a sales tax without a vote of the people. Is that correct?
That is correct. We can impose any of these options without a vote of the people. The way the city charter is structured, it allows council to take those actions. The voters have already approved the charter for council to do that. So we do have that mechanism. And if the voters feel that we're making a decision that is so egregious or not in their best interest, there is an option to take any council decision to referendum, which is, works similarly to like a recall where you have to go out and get signatures and it goes on the ballot and all that. So it's not just for elected officials, it's also for decisions. So we have the ability to enact any of these options without a vote.
All right, sir, does that help answer your question? I'm not sure that at least it might be some sort of explanation for you. Do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, that helps. Frankly, maybe we can't afford the size of City Hall and our administrative offices. Every action is uncomfortable. I think we're going down that path without a firm pathway to generate revenues. I think that was addressed. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. We appreciate your effort today. In the meantime, I think he expressed some frustration that the city is feeling in general, and to your city councilors. Is his message, cut somewhere else, let's make this city smaller, don't dip into my pocket anymore?
We definitely hear that. And I would point to the budget cut exercises that we've completed. We've completed two separate budget cut exercises, I think up to the tune of almost $4 million total. So we've certainly, done what we can, and we really are at bare bones now. If the next cut would be personnel, and we're talking about police officers, firefighters, and dispatchers. And that's not a move that I can support.
All right, let me follow that up with, are there other areas that you can cut from other than public safety?
Sure. I mean, we could cut anywhere. I mean, the city has, I don't know the exact number, but, several hundred employees throughout the different departments, public works and finance and administration and, all the different departments. But by cutting in those departments, that's not addressing where the issue lies. The issue lies with public safety expenses are outpacing revenues. So if you start cutting from the other departments, you're essentially, putting the tourniquet on your left arm when your right arm's cut off. So it's not pointless to do, but it's not solving the problem. It's just, maybe delaying the problem a little bit longer while not actually solving it. So I don't favor trying to do too many cuts in other areas, because that's not really where the problem is.
All right. I was kind of paraphrasing what I think our last caller instituted there, that that maybe we've just gotten too big all over, and I'm not sure that there's an answer for that or a fix for that, because all you have to do is drive around and know that this town is a lot bigger than it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. That's true.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause for a commercial break. We'll be right back after this important message.
I'm Jeff.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Councilors O'Shea and DeLaGrange are in studio with us today. And the number to call if you have a question or comment for a guest is 541-472-1270. And we've kind of beaten to death the law enforcement situation here. And I'm not sure we found an answer here, but we're kind of pointing in a direction, and we hope the council finds their way there. In the meantime, there's another situation, and that's the homeless situation in town. And primarily, we're waiting right now on a decision from the Supreme Court. And as I understand it, we should get a decision there sometime midsummer. Is that accurate?
I believe so. Some late summer or fall, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. In the meantime, though, regardless of that decision, either way, it won't solve our problem in the parks. And that's because of some state laws here. We really, in order to fix that, do we have to have a navigation center, another place to put these people? What's our situation as a city?
Well, ultimately, to solve the problem in the parks, we need to have a place for people to go. That's the whole reason we're in this lawsuit. So without some sort of shelter or campground or navigation center or whatever you want to call it, without that, the situation in the parks is not going to change. So, you know, in my time on council, I've seen people go from totally anti that, anti shelter, and now they're starting to understand that that really is the only legitimate way we have to kind of get our parks back. So some people are starting to come along. So I feel like there's a little bit of momentum building there, which is hopefully promising.
All right, Vanessa, you're nodding your head yes. Mm-hmm. They can't hear that nod on the radio.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. We're also hearing more and more from people, not only counselors maybe from, you know, a few years ago who were against the idea of having those types of services. We're even hearing that wave changing with constituents that come to our meetings where, you know, a few years ago they were saying, you know, they were some of our most vocal opposition to when we did have a campground on the agenda or when we did have these projects in front of us and we were making decisions. They were saying, absolutely do not allow this. And now we are hearing them at our meetings say, please do something, create a space for these people. And that's really the simple request from the community is create a space for people that want the help to go get the help so that they are not in the parks anymore.
I understand there are organizations out there looking for that space right now. Is that correct? Community Foundation has been talking about it, haven't they?
I'm not sure that I'm aware of that. Are you?
I'm not aware of that either. Okay. I know that there's emergency winter shelters, but not like an ongoing all season.
So no one out there is looking right now for a space to put these people if we get a favorable decision.
As far as I know, I haven't heard of any organization actively looking for a location for a more permanent shelter.
So we still don't have a place to put them. All right.
We don't.
So that being said, if we did have a place, do we have the funds to create that space?
Well, you know, yes and no. We have the general fund, and you know the current situation with the general fund is most of it goes to cover the public safety funding gap. So, in years past, we would have probably had a little bit of reserve in there to purchase a location and help set up a facility. We don't necessarily have that mechanism right now. Although, if we did decide to lower the reserve fund from 30% to 25%, in theory, that would free up $1.5 million that could potentially be used for something like that, or 10 other things that are priorities. So, is there money? Not really. But if council really wanted to get this done, could they find the money? Yes.
All right. I agree.
So, all right. So we're looking for a space out there. If anybody has a space, you can reach these two on the city website.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact. Now, that being said, I notice an ongoing trend. It seems like the general populace is more and more frustrated, upset, and angry about what's happening in the parks. And I can point out several situations for you. I know there's a group that meets. I know Tussing Park has become a hotbed. Morrison Park also in the headlines. And recently, a couple of young vigilantes ran through the park assaulting some of the transients there. What do we hear from the police department in terms of what's going on in the parks, and do we have the personnel to handle a situation like this?
I do want to say I wouldn't coin those young individuals as vigilantes. I would say that they are violent criminals. The assault that occurred was unwarranted entirely. So I think that that's separate from the frustration that the community feels of the soccer mom who wants to take her child to the playground. I think that those are two entirely different discussions. But I would definitely say that frustrations are mounting, certainly, because the situation is getting worse and not a lot of action is being taken on it. Of course, the injunction is certainly a huge component of that. But at the same time, just like what Councillor De La Grange said, that if the council made this a priority and laser focused on it and gave staff the direction, I'm certain that we could pull the strings together and figure it out. Just like other communities are doing. You know, we're not, communities up and down the West Coast are figuring it out. I don't know why we can't.
All right. Is there a community you can point to that has done that we could pattern ourselves after?
Medford.
Honestly, Roseburg.
And Medford.
Which I hate to say, but Roseburg is ahead of us.
Spoken like a true caveman. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's honestly embarrassing that Roseburg is ahead of us on this, and they really are. They have a shelter site. I think they have a couple sites. I'm not totally sure, but I know that they have more than we do. So, so when Roseburg's ahead of us, you know that there's gains that can be made here for sure.
What is the big obstacle to overcome in order to get that place, that safe campground? That at any rate, is it the NIMBYs? The not in my backyard, please.
I think it's leadership on council. I think the lack of leadership on council and the fear over backlash and the fear over people not, basically people just giving us a hard time for making the tough decisions. We've needed to make, we have lots of tough decisions that are on our plate and have been on our plate, and I'm seeing half of council shy away from them and continue to shy away from them, and the problems are not going away, they're getting worse. So that's a huge frustration on my part.
Real briefly, I've heard talk of, and I've heard it from counselors, about the Spalding Industrial Park as a possible location for a situation like that. But then there's the infrastructure problem out there. Is that really a possibility? Is that something that could happen, or is that off the table?
It's definitely not off the table. I think ultimately it would be a good location for something like that, but there's the infrastructure issue. Once you get past the creek, there's no infrastructure, and there's also not that many lots out there. So, you got a handful of lots. We would have to, the timing would have to be just right with someone selling a lot and the city being ready. So it would be a good spot, but I don't know that we need to just focus on that area, because, it could be years before something actually comes to be available out there.
Okay, I've got a little less than 3 minutes. I want to thank you both for your patience today and a couple of tough topics. Are there other areas that the people should be aware of right now that we haven't had time to deal with right now? Vanessa, you have mentioned a couple of situations.
Kind of going back to Matthew's question that he had about if there's anything to cut, I did want to bring to light that we have our budget committee discussions happening in the month of May, and we'll be combing through the budget. So if anyone has any concerns about where the money goes and what those departments look like, I think that would be a really great learning opportunity for anyone.
All right. Do you have hard dates at times yet?
Ooh, that's a fantastic question. I think the first one begins May 7th, May 14th, and I think the last one is May 16th. But let me double check the calendar on that.
They should be on the city website's calendar.
City website, all right.
But it will be the 7th, the 14th, and the 16th of May.
All right. Brian, something you want to bring up? Anything else that we need to be aware of?
Well, I know at our workshop coming up on April 29th, we're going to be talking about Caveman Pool. And we've been working on that project for a few years. I think most people know Caveman Pool is basically falling apart at this point, and it's a community institution. So we're trying to figure out, we've got a rough design. We're trying to get it rebuilt and get it built better than it is now, so the community can have another nice pool for 50 plus years. But we do have a gap in funding there, so that's probably going to be the main topic of that conversation, is figuring out how to get the pool funded, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I want to thank you both very much, Vanessa Auger and Brian D. LaGrange. If you have questions or comments for these people and any one of the counselors, you can go on the city website and reach them by email. I think there's a phone number there, so check them out. And if you have questions, by all means, let your voice be heard here, because it's going to affect you one way or the other. A little quick note here before we end. Don't forget to keep listening here. We'll be announcing times for some political interviews upcoming right here on KAJO Radio as we get closer to that, I think, May 21st election. We're close to a political window right now. That's Federal Communications Commission speak, where some of our hands are tied, and we'll certainly get all of those interviews out prior to the ballots hitting the mail. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270.
The official description of a